to help me learn how to talk to him better. So that's happy Father's Day, you guys. We're ending our series called Three Building Blocks of Strong Families. Before I get into it, we have a smaller group because summer is starting, but why don't you turn to your neighbor real quick and ask him, what are you doing this afternoon to celebrate Father's Day? Now, some of you may say nothing. Some of you might have some plans, but just kind of really quick, learn from the person next to you. What are you guys doing? All right, do you guys hear any fun plans? Who heard a plan they thought, oh, I wish I was doing what you're doing for Father's Day? Okay, you guys are doing things together. What are some fun plans? Shout them out. Take a nap. All right, exciting. The best Father's Day gift ever. Anything else? Barbecue, swimming.
Woo!
I'm not going to say anything. All right, I'll let it go. Yeah. Well, good. Well, it's really appropriate. We've been talking about building blocks of strong families. If you guys remember, 2 weeks ago, we talked about one of the first biblical building blocks of a strong family is prioritizing your spouse. You guys remember that? Talked about the need to make sure your spouse, if you're married, is the number one relationship you have. Last week, we began to talk about imparting wisdom to your children. And this week, we're going to talk about how to communicate well with family members. How does that sound? That's one of the huge building blocks. Now, before I get into that, we didn't get to finish last week, so if you would, pull out your message notes. They're in your bulletin. And what I'd like to do is just review a little bit about last week and then before we hit what we're going to hit this week. So if you have your message notes, last week when we talked about what it takes to impart wisdom to our children, the first thing we talked about was fun, talking about the need of laughter in your family. The second was attention, that our kids need our attention. The third is we talked about modeling encouragement, to model encouragement. And then we ended with the word invest. And if you guys notice, this all spells family, very clever. We didn't talk about the last two. I want to talk about the last two right now. The L stands for we've got to love irrationally. We've got to love in a crazy way when it comes to our kids. You know, when you love other people, you cannot be motivated by loving other people by their response to you. Do you know that? That the way that God calls us to love our neighbors, ourselves, has little to do with how they love you. And if you're only motivated to love someone because they're loving you, it's not going to work. The way you love people irrationally is that you receive God's irrational love for you. And then you give it out to other people. So you're always in a position of receiving from God. Everyone put your right hand up. Receiving from God. You're saying, God, you love me. You're the one that always loves me. No matter what I do, no matter how other people see me, you are my God. You love me. And then what you do is you take that love you receive from God and you love other people the other way. So point your other hand somewhere towards someone else without slapping them. That's your goal. But the position of irrational love always looks like this. It does not look like, hey, let's give and take and be equal. That's especially true with our children, amen? We can't love our kids expecting that the only way we're going to love them is if they're good in return or if they love us back the way we think they ought to love us. One of the powerful things of investing wisdom to our kids is loving them in an irrational, crazy way because Jesus loves us that way. God's love is irrational. And so Jesus says in John 13, a new command I give you, love one another. How? As I have loved you. Not how other people love you, but as I have loved you, so you must love one another. The last thing when it comes to kids, and I did touch on this last week, was the Y stands for yield. Y-I-E-L-D. There is that proverb that says, train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. And I want to say what I said last week. That is a principle, not a promise. What that means is that we have a responsibility to be faithful with our kids while we have them, investing, having fun, passing on things to them as best as we can. But there comes a point where we need to let go and say, God, they're yours. Please take care of them. And sometimes as parents, we hold on too tightly. And the kid is 35 years old. But you're still holding on tightly, trying to control every move. And what happens is they never flourish. They build resentment. But part of a mature parent investing in their kids is saying, I've given you what I can give you. My role right now is prayer, and I'm a coach on the side, and I am praying like crazy that God will take you the way I trained you. Amen? All right, let's transition now to our topic for today is how do you communicate well with your family? You know, I do a lot of marital and premarital counseling, and couples tend to be in one of five categories when I see them. If you're just doing amazingly well, and your relationship with your spouse is just unbelievable, we call you a vitalized couple. You guys are rocking. Now, I've done lots and lots of counseling. I've only seen one couple in this thing. We have an inventory. My wife and I took this inventory to see where we ranked. We didn't rank as vitalized. I thought we had a good marriage. We do. But the point is, vitalized is there are very few issues you've learned how to do well. The second one is you're harmonious, you're getting along well. The third is traditional. That means you're getting along well, but there's some communication issues to work out. Those are the top three. You're okay if you're in the top three. The bottom two are the ones where you're going to have a lot of work. The next one is that you are conflicted. Meaning that in your family relationship, in your marriage relationship, there's a lot of conflict going on, and you're not sure how to resolve it. And if it's been going on for years and years, you end up being devitalized. That's the bottom category. You find out, you across the board, there are some things that you are struggling with as a couple. It's been going on for years. You don't know how to communicate. You don't know how to forgive, and there's deep-seated resentment in your relationship. The lower categories, the common issue is communication and forgiveness. Communication and forgiveness. Those are the issues that a family needs to work on if they're going to have a strong foundation. No one taught us how to communicate well with our parents, with our spouse, or our children. And we just borrow habits that we grew up with and we transfer it onto other people. And so what I want to do this morning is talk about how do we communicate well with our family? How many of you want to communicate well with that uncle that really irritates you? Or the aunt, or the grandparent, or the child? Family reunions are kind of funny, aren't they? Because you look forward to them, right? And then you get there and you realize, wow, we're really dysfunctional. We're really weird in our family. But if we can learn how to communicate well, what we're doing is building a strong building block for our family. So what I want to do is the top of your outline, there's a verse from James chapter 1. That's not the top, but right after the title. Let's read that out loud. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. There goes my notes. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because our anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Thank you, Pete. Thank you, brother. Happy Father's Day. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Why? Because our anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. How many of you in your lives, by a show of hands, want to produce the righteousness that God wants for you? Yeah, don't we? And God is saying here, if we learn how to communicate well, that's the key of that. And so what Paul says, or James says in this, is that there are two things. One is that we are to be quick to speak. So we got a green light to speak, or quick to listen, sorry. Quick to listen. I get to speak. This is why, no, I won't get into that. Green, we are allowed to listen. We are to be quick to listen. That's a good thing. Do it quickly. It's a green light. But we are to be slow to speak. That's a yellow light. There are certain things we need to know when we're communicating where some things are to be quick and some things are to be slow, and that is the key to communication. So what I want to do is break down this verse and talk about what does it mean to be quick to listen and slow to speak, especially when there's tension in the family, especially when people aren't getting along, especially if you're frustrated with someone in your family, especially if someone is frustrated with you. How do you learn how to be quick to listen and slow to speak so that we can produce the kind of righteousness that God desires. This is what I want to do. I want to break this down. So if you're in your outline, here's the first thing. How do we be quick to listen? Be quick to listen. Proverbs 18:13 says, "He who answers before listening, that is his folly and shame." Do you get that? He who answers before listening, that is his folly and shame. Let me ask you a few questions. Are you the type of person that cuts people off when they speak to you because you think you already know what they're going to say? Are you the person that can't actually hear someone complete their sentence because you get defensive really easy and you need to cut them off and defend yourself? He who answers before listening, that is his folly and shame. Or do you take time to listen first? To make sure that you completely understand what the person is trying to say before you respond. Let's look at Ecclesiastes 7:9. "Do not be quickly provoked in your spirit, for anger resides in the lap of fools." Let me ask you, are you someone who gets defensive easily? Someone brings up something, perhaps, that they're frustrated with you about, or they have an issue with you about. Are you someone that easily, quickly gets defensive and wants to defend yourself? Do not be quickly provoked. Do people hesitate to bring up things with you because they're afraid you're going to get angry? Are they afraid of being honest with you for fear of your reaction? Do they feel like they have to be on their tippy toes around you to make sure they don't violate any anger that might be in you? God says, do not be quickly provoked when you want to communicate in your spirit, for anger resides in the lap of what? Fools. The Bible calls you a fool if you're one to get defensive quickly. Or are you a person who can pause and try to really understand where your family member is coming from? If so, the Bible calls you wise. You are smart. You get something about communicating in a godly way with family members. Look at Proverbs 14:29. "A patient man has great understanding, but a quick-tempered man displays folly." The Bible says that when you are patient, you have God's wisdom. But when you're quick-tempered, you display foolishness. Are you quick to get angry? Are your family members afraid to bring things up with you? Or are you patient? Green light is to listen well. Amen? Listen well. Take time to just stop. Don't react. One of the keys to communication is just being able to pause and say, because I follow Jesus, because I'm a follower of God, I'm going to choose to be quick to listen. God's given me a green light. The message, the translation of the message says, lead with your ears. It's a key to communication. One of the things you could do to grow wise in communication is before responding, before reacting, before defending yourself, before getting into help to say, you know what, I'm just going to calm down. I'm just going to wait and see, what does this person have to say? And I'm going to make sure I understand what they have to say before I respond at all. You're saying, my priority before I defend myself is to really understand what's going on for you. One of the key things you can learn to say after someone talks to you and you just pause and say, what I'm hearing you say is this. Is that right? How many of you find this hard when people are upset with you or you're upset with people? Why do you think it's so hard to listen before responding? Go ahead and shout out. Raise your hand, maybe. Yeah, why do we get defensive? Yeah, Scott. Selfish. Okay, what else? Pride. Yeah. Yeah. What if you grew up and people were always against you? You just think someone's bringing something up and whoa! Yeah. Yep. Fear. Yeah, what are we afraid of? Jealousy. Yep. Being wrong. Let me ask you a question. What would you need to know from God to listen well? I'm going to get my notes again. Sorry, you guys. What would you need to know from God to be able to listen well to someone? And that's a real question. Let me ask you, raise your hand again. What do you need to know from God to be able to listen to someone and not react? What do you guys think? Wisdom. Trust that God is in control. He'll take care of you. Yeah. That he loves you despite your faults. Yeah. There's something about knowing that God's in control, that he loves you, that you are his, that no matter what comes at you, even if you're in the wrong and deep down you know it, you can just say, it's going to be okay because my Father in heaven loves me and there's nothing you can do about that. And so I want you guys to learn to listen. Now, what if you have to bring something up with someone else? They're irritating you. They're doing something that's rubbing you wrong. You're in the family reunion. You're over dinner, and they're just annoying you. You still need to listen first. It may not look like asking what they're thinking, but what you want to do is ask, why would this person do this? What can I do to give the benefit of the doubt to someone who's annoying me right now? Why would a perfectly rational, caring person do this to me or say this way? But the idea is the same. Before you speak, you're taking time to just stop and try to understand and try to listen. The goal is that you're starting with understanding. I shared this story before, and it's not a family story, but it's an orthodontist story. I was at my orthodontist many, many years ago, and he promised me that this thing he was going to do with braces was going to take 7 weeks, and he would charge me $100 each week. So I budgeted $700 for this. Well, the seventh week came around, and without saying anything, he scheduled an eighth week for me. I'm like, okay, I can afford another $100. Then a ninth week, and it kept going until I was so angry. I said, this guy is taking advantage of me. He said 7 weeks. He's charged me. So I said, I need to meet with you. I made an appointment with him. I sat down with him. I said, look, you said 7 weeks. We are now on whatever week it is. I cannot afford to pay. And I just went off. I was so upset he was taking advantage of me. And he got taken back. And he said, oh, I was never going to charge you more than $700. The extra weeks are on me. I wish I just took time to completely understand. You know what I mean? If I just asked, why would a person do this? It might have occurred to me, maybe he's not going to charge me. Why don't I ask him? But I went in with all the guns out, ready to go. One of the keys of communication is learning to understand first. That even means that if you're irritated, someone's done something wrong to you, the goal is to stop and say, why would a person do this? I want to understand before I speak. Here's the second thing. Not only are we to be quick to listen, we're to be slow to speak. So it's not that you can't speak. It's not a red light. It's just saying, I want to slow down. I want to pause. I want to give myself space. The words that come out of my mouth, I want to make sure they're the right words. They don't cause more damage. So we're slow to speak, the scripture says. Proverbs 17:27 says, a man of knowledge uses words with what? Restraint. And a man of understanding is what? Even-tempered. See, when you've done all you can, say someone comes up to you, they're bringing up something, they're upset with you, they have issues with you. When you've done all you can to understand first, it opens you up to being even-tempered, to being calm, to trying to understand, to using your words with restraint. You can have a decent conversation, even if you're not seeing eye to eye first, because you've taken time to first say, I want to understand. I want to understand. I really want to understand. Now that I understand, let me speak. But I'm not doing it in a defensive way. I'm not doing it in an angry way. I'm doing it in a calm way because I first started wanting to make sure that we are on the same page, that I get where you're coming from. I may not agree with everything you're saying, but at least I get it. And you may be saying some things I do agree with that I didn't see before. But the point is I took time just to stop. To stop. And the reason why this is so important, you guys, is in Proverbs 12:18. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. How many of you have said things that you've deeply regretted in the moments of anger? I have. Let me just give you a tip. If you're angry, zipper your mouth. Just wait. You can get back to it. You might need to give yourself a timeout. You might need to go to your room, just relax, take a little walk, watch some sport, whatever it takes for you just to calm down. But the words that come out of your mouth when you are angry will cause so much pain that you'll extend your conflict 3 months, where it could have been resolved in one day because of the words you said when you were angry. Slow to speak. Slow to speak. Reckless words pierce like a sword. But on the other hand, the wise tongue brings healing. I remember several times with Becky where I haven't followed this principle, where I went to her angry, my wife angry, and in her wisdom, she responded in a calm manner that understood. And it brought so much healing to me. I wanted her to fight with me. That way we could keep going for a while. But she calmly says, "That makes sense. I understand why you feel that way." But she healed me. She understood. If you can learn how to respond calmly with understanding, your words can bring wise healing. One of the things you can do when someone brings something up with you, and if there's any truth in what they're saying, even if it was unintentional truth, one of the best things you could say is, "You're right. I didn't see that." And then here are the magic words. You guys ready? "I'm sorry." Let's practice. Let's do that. These are hard words, okay? Like your mouth doesn't move in that direction. So here we go. We're going to practice here. Ready? 1, 2, 3. "I'm sorry." Okay, let's do it a couple more times. You might feel pain tomorrow morning, but let's do this. Ready? "I'm sorry." Okay, one more time, real loud. "I'm sorry." One of the best things you can do is to own up and say, "I'm sorry." Often our mistakes aren't intentional, honestly. It's not like we went out and meant to be mean. But sometimes by pure ignorance, by just a mistake, we overlooked something. We forgot to pick someone up. We left a mess out. We had no idea. And they come and they might be angry thinking you're just an evil person. And you're not saying I'm evil, but what you're saying is, "I see I left that out. I'm sorry." Okay, come on. "It's my fault. I'm sorry." There we go. The tongue of the wise brings healing. And nothing calms an argument down more than owning up to your part and asking for forgiveness. Now, what if it's the other way around, that you brought something up? You first thought to understand what's going on, to give them the benefit of the doubt, to think, why would a person do this? You go calmly. You don't do an orthodontist move like I did, but you actually go calmly. You ask questions. You bring it up. What if it's the other way around? How do you bring up an issue you have with a family member? How do you talk about it in a way that won't get into an argument, that won't insult them? Here's a clue. Psalm 24 says this: "May he, being God, give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed." One of the things I love about the Psalms is the word desire comes up a lot. And it seems like God really honors our desires, that what we want really counts to him. We don't always get what we want, but what we want actually matters to him. And one of the greatest ways to communicate to a family member when we want something that they're not doing is to simply ask for what we want. We don't go in and say, "Hey, you're always like this. Hey, you're mean, you're dirty, you're sloppy, you're always late." That doesn't help, those you statements. But when you just recognize what you want, what your desire is, and you communicate that desire because God honors your desires, something happens. "Hey, I noticed you left the towels out this morning. Could you put those up?" Instead of, "Why do you always leave the towels out?" See, when you start with what you want, it comes out a lot better, and it's a key to communication. You're doing it in a respectful way because you've actually taken time to understand and ask. Learning how to ask for what you want in a calm, respectful way is a key building block of a strong family. Now, some of us have come out of families where, like, well, if there's a disagreement, the way to deal with it is yell. You yell, you have it all out, and then it's just done, you know, and you figure it out. And you may bring that into your new family, and they'll look at you going, "What are you doing? Where did this come from? Well, this is how we did in our family. Did it work?" Well, kind of, but not really. Let's start a new plan here. Just tell me what you want. Ladies, I want to speak to you for a moment, because, ladies, you have intuition that's unbelievable. You guys can look across the aisle to another lady and know what you guys are talking about without even moving your mouth. I don't know how you do it. High intuition. Becky expects me to know what she wants without ever telling me. Guys, can I get a witness here? Is that right? Okay, right. Okay. Ladies, we have some handicap in our brain when it comes to this. We're very slow to catching on what you want by your symbols, by your facial expressions, by your, you know, what you cook for us for dinner, that we should just know. So we want to ask you a favor. Ask us for what you want. Just tell us what you want. We can hear it. But please don't assume we know what you want and then be angry with us because we never knew. One of the key things to growing in communication is learning how to just ask for what you want in a very respectable way. I remember I was on a summer mission trip, but it was actually into inner city Oakland. And we were living with a group of students. There's about five of us sharing one apartment. It was crowded, it was tense, and it was for 7 weeks long. I grew up in a family where you don't bring up what you want. You just manipulate. That's how we did it. You know, you figure out ways to manipulate your family. We never talk about it. And so, you know, we would rotate cooking, and there were certain foods I just didn't enjoy eating. And I just got frustrated every time the cook of the day cooked the dinner that I didn't enjoy. I remember about 5 weeks into it kind of shouting at them, going, why do you guys always cook? I don't remember what it was, but why do you guys always cook eggs with salsa? I just don't like it. I actually love eggs with salsa. That was a bad example, but you get it. Why? And they looked at me like, where is this coming from? And I was thinking, for 5 weeks, you should have known. And they're thinking, how? And one lady said to me, John, we just wish you would have told us. I was like, duh. But isn't that how we often operate in our families? We let something frustrate us for weeks and weeks. And when it comes out, it's angry. And all we had to do was ask for what we want. Let me ask you a question. What do you want more of or less of in your family right now? What do you want more of or less of in your family right now? Have you ever thought of asking for that? Have you ever thought of having a calm conversation saying, you know, kids, spouse, parents, aunts, uncles, cousins, whoever it is you need to talk to, I wonder if we can do this more. Would that be okay? If you can learn how to ask and honor your desires the same way God honors them, it's a key to communication. Here's one more thing. If you're bringing up something with someone, do you feel like they've done you wrong or they're not doing what you want them to do? Colossians 3:13. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Where on the other hand, if you've done something wrong and someone brings it up and you say, I'm sorry, and those are words that are wise and healing. On the other end, if you're the one bringing something up with someone and they're sorry, one of the best things you can do is say this, and this might take practice too. I forgive you. I forgive you. I don't like it when couples or families have arguments. Oh, how we doing? All right. Thank you. There's certain variables when you meet outside, huh? The wind. One of the best things you can do is to say, I'm sorry. I don't like it when family members have a fight and they end the thing with, oh, it's okay. Don't worry about it. That's different than forgiveness. I want you guys to learn to say, I forgive you. That when someone is sincerely apologetic and wants to be made right, don't say, oh, it's okay, no big deal. Say, I forgive you. And I see everyone looking behind me as this, all this stuff's going to fall. So let's wrap this up. Let's wrap this up. Here's how I want to end. You guys ready? All families have disagreements. All families have fights. All families have tension. All families rub each other's wrong. You're not a healthy or unhealthy family depending on how much you disagree, how much you have conflict. But the studies show that it's not the amount of disagreements that are related to family happiness, but it's how well they are handled through good communication. Happy families do not avoid disagreements. They resolve them while remaining respectful of each other, thereby strengthening their relationship. Psalm 19:14 says this, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to your sight, O Lord. I want to end with that. I want to encourage you. This is such a strong building block. Practice. practice, practice. Know that you can ask for what you want. Know that you can listen before you speak. Know that you can forgive and ask for forgiveness. And live a life in your family where you are being Jesus to other people because you are receiving God's love and you're dishing it out to others. Be people who love Jesus so much that you're infusing your family with loving communication and you see your family go stronger. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much that you are the master communicator. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word. And Lord, you are, through Jesus Christ, a communicator to us. Lord, and your words to us is that you have come for us. You've come to bring your kingdom here. And Lord, we want to learn from you so we can be master communicators in our families. Lord, for those of us who have anger issues, teach us to slow down on speaking but be quick to listen. For those of us who have a hard time bringing things up, help us bring up our desires because you honor them, therefore we need to. Lord, I pray where there needs to be forgiveness, that if forgiveness is exchanged, that people are asking and receiving for forgiveness. And Lord, ultimately, we need your forgiveness. And so we pray right now, God, because our sin is coming to the surface, that you would forgive us. We're so sorry for the ways we have misused the mouth and words you've given us to tear down people. Help us be people who have wise words. We want our words to bring healing. And we pray all this in Jesus' great name. Amen. Amen.